Says daf is daf kuf ayin beis. So we got to three lines down. The Gemara says Amar lu Rava bar Rav Shila lahanu kasvi shtari akniyase, that he told those who write shtaros for acquisitions, ki kasvina shtar akniyase, when you write these shtars, iya daisa yoma de kniyase bay kasvo. If you are aware of when the acquisition took place, so you should write this man of when the kinyan took place. And ilo, if you don't, right? So kasva yoma de kaimisa bay, so write the day the document's being written. So apparently, the document wasn't necessarily written on the day the acquisition went through. So again, ideally write it the day of the acquisition. If not, write the day at least of when the kima shtar, when the shtar is being put together. So it doesn't come off as if there's a sheker going on here, because if you write the some type of time that people don't know about it and it was incorrect, so then, or no time at all on it, it would come off as something, a sheker that was going on here. So then the Gemara says, Amar lehu Rav lesafrei. Rav would tell his sofrim, v'chein Amar lehu Rav huna lesafrei. He would tell his sofrim as well, ki kai misei bishilei, kasu bishilei, v'yaf agav de mesirin lechu milei behini. So if you the shtar is being mekuyam in shili, you should write shili even though the acquisition or the giving over the shtar was going to take effect in hini, a different place. And so too, ki kai misei behini, if the kim shtar took place in hini, so you should write kasu behini, write it in hini, even though afagav de mesirin lechumili bishili. So the Yad Rama points out here that isn't there an isser of a midrash sheker tirchak? How could you write that it took place in shili if it really took place in hini, or vice versa? So there's an isser of a midrash sheker tirchak. So it becomes a whole discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim all over about whether or not a person is allowed to lie in a situation where there'll be no nafkaminas. Could you tell a fake story if it's just going to give a person musr and chizik? Could you tell lies if it's not going to affect anyone? So some bring a ride from this Gemara that since it really didn't impact anyone about any halachic status, so you are allowed to lie. And others say not and have to reinterpret this Gemara in a different way. Now, toast, yeah. Arts, what do they say?
It says,
So that's how you'd reinterpret this Gemara to say it's not lying, you're saying you're writing both the place where it was Mekuyam and the place where it was giving over.
Right.
That's how you get out of this. But Pashup Shad is, you're only writing where it's written, not where it's being given. Tosas just points out here, geographically, Kasu Bishili, Hini Vishili Krova Zulazu. There are cities that are adjacent to each other. That's why they chose these two cities, Shafilu Bishte Ayaros, Krova Zulazu, that are so close to each other. Kasu al Shem Hayir Shitamduba Bishas Ksiva. So you should write the city, the name of the city that it was written in. Vigam Hayura Igilin Tadir Lios Bihini Vishili. It was very common for them to be in these two cities. That was the only reason why they chose these cities, even though it was very common to go back and forth between the two of them. You still write based on where the ksiva is and not where the mesira is taking place. Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Hai man denakit shtar bar mea zuz. A person's holding a shtar that allows him to collect 100 zuz. V'amar, he says, Shavini ili, this is valuable to me, just as valuable. Trei b'nei chamshin. You know, I write two separate documents, let's split it up and say, here's a document saying I could collect 50 and another one saying I could collect 50. In the end of the day, it's the same amount. So the Gemara says, Rava Paskin, Zelo mashvinin lehu. You cannot change a one shtar of 100 to two shtars of 250s. Why? My taima. Of the Rabbanan Milsa, de nichale de malva, ve nichale de lova. Chachamim would only create things that are beneficial for both the malva and the lova. So how does this work out in this case? So nichale le malva, it's better for the malva, kideshi yakov leparo. It's better for the malva to have one shtar. Because if he has one shtar, we learned yesterday, if it's paid partially, so now the lova needs to hold on to shovar to protect himself, so he wants to pay that shtar as soon as possible. If there are two different shtaros, so now he pays one shtar, 50, he rips it up, now the malva has another shtar, there's no shovar that the lova needs to hold on to and feels the urgency to pay off, so therefore it's not good for the malva. The lova won't pay sooner, so we don't split up into two, even though the malva requested it. And it's also beneficial nichale lelova that there should be one shtar kihecha dinifkam shtari, because now the malva has one shtar that was paid off partially, and that's beneficial for the lova. How so? So Rashbam explains. Look at the Rashbam around halfway down the wide lines. It says kihecha dinifkam shtaro kishayifra chamishim zuz of the 100 zuz, when a shtar is paid off partially, harinimsa shtar shebiado malve pogum. It's called a shtar pogum. It's a little bit paid off. And what's the significance? Tanan, the Mishnah Ksuba says, hapogemetz ksubaso lo tifre ela b'shvua huadin l'chol sharos. So now if the malve wants to collect further from the shtar pogum, he needs to take a shvua every time he wants to collect. So now the malva is going to think twice before he collects a second, third, and fourth time from the lova. So the lova is actually going to be protected in such a way, he also would rather there being one shtar. So for this reason, you never allow there to be one shtar to be broken up into two. Now, I just wonder, what if both the malva and lova agree to this? So seemingly that would be allowed. The way the Gemara is presenting the case is where one of them are suggesting it. I don't know what the halacha is. I'm just thinking out loud, maybe if both of them agree, even though it wouldn't make sense for both of them, but then it might be allowed.
The Rashbam said shalom midas halom. That was the Lashon of the Rashbam. The Malva is trying to do shalom midas halom.
Which is mashma that das halom, it would work. Now the Malva would want two shtars. This way he wouldn't have to take a shvua on the shtar pogum. That would be the beneficial for the Malva.
So shtar, let's say all the cases that was called before, either according to Rabbi Yehuda that he can actually
Yachlif,
or according to the other one, they have to make a shover. Mm-hmm. In all the cases, he has to make a shvua. Or only if, like,
I think all the
or
cases.
Only in a case that nothing was done about it. He didn't get a shoulder or he didn't get.
I think it's only a case where you have the original, not the Yachlif case, because that's a whole new shtar.
Right.
Where there's a shovar, where the original shtar is there, and then there's a receipt that says it was partially paid, I think that's the only case you have to take a shvua. Okay, the Gemara now says three wide lines down. Amar Rava. Hayman de naket trei shtari bnei chamshin chamshin. The guy's got two different agreements that he's owed $50 from a certain person. Vamar shavini neheli chad bar mea lo shavini lei. So he says, you know, it's much easier for me to hold on to one document. Let's combine the two to one. The lach is lo mashvini lei. Why? Because avid rabbanan milsa de nichalei lemalve v'nichalei lelove. Chachamim would only create things that's beneficial for both parties. So why is it not good for them? So nichalei lemalve is better for a malva kiyechad lo nifkem shtare. He's better off having two sharos than having one that's partially paid, because one that's partially paid, now he's got to take a shvua because shtar pogum. V'nichalei lelova, it's also beneficial for the lova to have two separate shtaros kidei shelo yakov leparo, because if you combine the two into one and now one of them is partially paid and he's holding on to the shovar, he's feeling that sense of urgency having to pay it sooner than later, so he would also rather stay as two shtaros. So we see there's a pro and con to having one or having two, so whatever the initial agreement was, one or two, we leave that as is, again, unless they both agree that they're willing to switch it from one to the next. So then the Gemara says, last case before the Mishnah, Amar Rav Ashi, Haiman denaket shtar bar meyazuz of Amar shavina neli chad bar chamshin lo mashvinale. So the guy's got a shtar that says 100. He says, you know what, I'm willing to take a hit and move it down to a shtar of 50. So then we don't do that. My timer, because Amrina, and we're concerned something might happen. You might think this is okay. The Malva is willing to say, I'm mochan 50. And the Lova says, great, I only owe 50. Let's make a new shtar now that I only owe 50. No, we don't do this, because Aminan Hai Mifra Pari, they're going to say that the first shtar is paid off. The Amar Le Havli Shtara, now they're going to request from the bank, like, give me the shtar so we could tear up the $100 shtar first. Vamar Le, the bank's going to say, Irkisli, I lost it. So you can't rip up the initial shtar of 100. Because of the Tavra, he gives a shovar to the Lova that he paid off the $100 shtar. And then sometime later, Mapik Lehi is going to take out the new shtar that he wrote 50 on, and Vamar Lehi Achrinahu. There's a whole other shtar here. So because of that, we never allow you to write a going from 100 to 50. If the amounts were the same, 50-50 to 100, or 100 to 50-50, so there at least the amount is the same. You can't claim it's a new shtar. It was the same acquisition, just two different shtars. But to go from 100 to 50, where there's room that the Malva can now say there's a whole new agreement we had, so there, we don't allow that to be done according to Rav Ashi.
Even if you have the 100 star and you rip it?
Yeah, because now the Malva is going to take out. Now, if you have a 100 star, rip it, that's okay, because it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But now, we're talking about a case, if you can right now, the guy says, let's take the 50. And the guy says, first let me rip the star. So then, since he says his star is lost, we have nothing to rip. But if it was ripped, then you would be.
The Rashbam says, even if you guys rip it right now, and we're concerned that what you're ripping was already a paid off shtar, and now you're going to have this new shtar that's worth 50. In other words, what the Gemara is saying may play out is actually already in the process of playing out.
So this only works within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, who says Shovar. Rabbi Yehuda would agree, because Rabbi Yehuda always says you could rip the shtar, write a new one. So this goes according to Rabbi Yossi. In essence, they're asking the question for Rabbi Yossi, why don't you ever allow you to rip a shtar? Why do you always trust in a Shovar? So what the Gemara is saying in Rashbam adds here is because we're always concerned he might have some other shtar that he's tearing up, and therefore even in a case, I guess that's wrong, even in a case where you do rip it up, we still can never write a new shtar. That's the shita.
Meaning there were two stars before, plus a third one that they're issuing. We're concerned it's going to take an older star that was paid for. Is that our concern?
That's not the way the Rashbam says it. It sounds like he's saying that the actual $100 shtar that you have, and kind of a basin rips it up, but it was a paid off star already.
Why would the guy accept to write another star for 50 when he thinks it's paid?
Because the Lova doesn't know about it. The Mav is the one who's doing this. This is
something without even the Lover being there, which is
Right. And said it must have been when there was a right, show very so written
this
on the
$100. This wouldn't work for Rabbi Yehuda.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
Okay. The new Mishnah tells us now, Shnei Achen Echad Ani Vechad Asher. You have two brothers, one's wealthy, one's poor. V'niach lehen avien merchat to beis habad. And the father dies, leaves behind a bathhouse, he leaves behind a wine or oil olive press. So, asan l'schar, if they want to use it to as an investment, to rent it out, to make money, haschar lem, so then they would split it, all the profits. But asan l'atzma, if they want to take this merchat and beis habad to use for themselves, so then harei ha'asher omer l'ani kach l'cha avadim v'yircha tu b'merchats. Asher, they say, it's like, he's joking. He says to Ani, go get your avadim and have them give you a bath. And kachel chazeis, and go get your olives, which of course he doesn't have. He's an Ani, ubav also beis habad, and use the olive press. It's not really sure what's being accomplished by this statement here. For in essence, if it's going to be used la'atzmo, the Ani is going to get no benefit out of this. But if it's going to be used for schar, so then the Ani is going to get to split the profits. Gemara now says, shnayim shehayu be'ir achas, two people living in one city. Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon, Shem Echad Achash Yosef ben Shimon. The same exact name, same exact city. So Ein Yechol Nehotzi Shtar Chov Zel Zeh. They cannot take a shtar out that one owes the other money because you don't know who's the Malva, who's the Lova. And further, V'lo Echad Acher Yachol Nehotzi Aleim Shtar Chov. And no other person could claim that you owe me money because you don't know which one it is. So Rashbam points out the only way you're allowed to, so doesn't mean that people can ever take out loans, they're stuck forever. So Rashbam says, no, if they want to take out loans, you just can't trust the shtar, you have to use real edus. If you have real edim who saw that this person who looked this way borrowed money from this guy, so then you could rely on the edus. But there is no shtar that's going to be sufficient to allow for collecting money involving any of these two individuals. So the Gemara says, now, nimsa le'echad bein shtarosav shtaro shel Yosef ben Yosef parua. Sorry, I skipped a line here, sorry. Nimsal echad bein sharosav sharo shel Yosef ben Shimon parua. Then sharo shneim parun. If you find, let's say, you have two documents, and one of the documents says it's paid off, so then you could assume that both sharos that you find that are connected to each other, both of them are in fact considered being paid off. The Gemara is going to explain what this means. Not today, though. So then the Gemara says, Ketzad Yasu. So what are you supposed to do about these two people who've got the same exact name? How do you do a Malvin Alova? So Rashbam already gave it a suggestion of using Edom. But the Gemara gives in the Mishnah gives another suggestion. Yishalshu, include their grandfather's name. Ruvain ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak, let's say. That would work as well. So then, but let's say Imayu Vishulashim, let's say they have the same exact grandfather's name as well. So then Yichtivu Simon. Write a Simon, something that's unique about them. So Rashbam says here, you know, that goats, so lava, no gicha, the guy's short, the guy's tall, the guy's white, the guy's dark, some description that makes him stick out. Vimhayu musumanu, if they were both exactly the same height and the same weight and the same eye colors, there's nothing you can mamish get, they're twins, same names, everything. So then yichtivu kohen, then you're hoping maybe one's a kohen, one's not a kohen, that would be sufficient as well. There's a whole discussion where Moshe writes, are you allowed to use a last name as part of a shtar or not? So he has a whole discussion based on this idea of a simon. Some say you don't use last names because it implies that a guy's being called, he says, Ruvain ben Shimon Goldman. It says Goldman's tells it his nickname. No one calls him Goldman. I know little boys call each other, you know, first name, Levin, Cohen, they call each other that name, but no one calls him Goldman. So Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva. He says if you write l'mishpachas golman, so then that would be sufficient. So that would be considered a good simon if they have different last names in order to differentiate between the two different people with the same exact name. So the Gemara says now, last two lines of the Amud. Hahu shtara denafik lebeidina de Rav Huna. A certain shtar came out of the bezdin of Rav Huna. V'dahava kaseh bei, it's written on it. Ani ploni bar ploni had the guy's name. Lavisi mana mimcha. I borrowed money from you. That's what it said, mimcha, from you. So now, the problem is, so some guy has, the guy's holding the money. It says, I'm the mal, he owes money to me. You see, I'm holding it. But it says mimcha, it doesn't say who it is. But I'm the bank. So Rav Huna says, I'm Rav Huna mimcha, a few meshkelus, a few mishvur malka. Just because you're holding the shtar that you're owed money, it doesn't say who you are. It just says mimcha. So it could be it fell from someone, from the Reish Galusa, it could be from the Shvar Muka, Shavar Malka. It could be from anyone, in which case you're not allowed to collect it since it doesn't specify your name as being the Malva. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Rav Chis to the Rabba, Pok Ayin Bad. He says to his Talmud Rabba, go do some research on this conversation, on this topic, because De La Orsa Baila Rav Huna Minach, because in the evening I know Rav Huna is going to come after you to find what the halach is. Okay, so he goes out. Nafik dok ve'ashich, he goes and finds a brisa. D'tanya get sheyesh alav edim ve'ein bozman. So the halacha is if there's an edim, but it doesn't say the zman. Rashbam says these are one of the examples. It's a get pasul, but im nises. Right, if you get married based on this get pasul, the vlad is kosher. So then Abashal Omer im kasev bo girashtia hayom kosher. If you do write today, but you don't write the exact date, but you just write Hayom, so then it's a good get. So what do you see from here? Mashma, Alma rather. Hayom hahu, yom adinafik bei mashma. So Hayom means whatever day that they presented the get. Whatever day the get was given, so that's considered good enough. So along the same lines, the Gemara says, Hachanami, mimcha, meahu gavra adinafik, mituse yodei mashma. So even when there's things that are ambiguous, if there's some maisa that can clarify the ambiguity, that would be sufficient. So just like by the get, it says hayom. And you look at the shtar, nothing's clear about which day, but the moment the get's given over, that tells us, oh, hayom means today. So too when it says mimcha, when I give over the shtar, I'm the mimcha, it's from me. I'm the person, so therefore we can trust whoever's holding on to the shtar. That's what the initial understanding of Rabba was to prove that the shtar is a good shtar for the malva, the one holding it.
So the halacha means what? Is that this is not the shtar, and then he's going to pay him, and then another guy is going to come with edim or what? Because the guy owes the money, no matter what.
Yeah, but that's it's stealing. It's not my money to take.
But the chances are that the guy who's holding but that's what the Gemara is saying.
Look, what I'm saying is the chashash, it fell from someone. The guy fell. Oh, perfect opportunity. Doesn't say a name. Let me be that guy.
Right, but for the guy who owes the money, is irrelevant. The guy who owes the money to someone.
Right? Yeah, he does. But for the collector, we can't help but be Messiah Begzela here.
Yeah, but don't we say that real people don't lose their shtars?
So we'll have to see what the Gemara is going to. Well, the Gemara answered back. It's like a guy finds a ticket to a Yankee game on the floor. It doesn't say a name on it. I pick it up. So that's stealing. Now, do we say, prove to me that it's your ticket? Obviously but not, because we're not choshesh. So. There's no indication here also there should be some level of yish because it doesn't say the owner's name, it says mimcha, which is an awful lawyer who wrote this document up though. But the Gemara says, you can't bring me a raya from the case of Hayom and Get. Because Amar Le Abaye, Vidilma Abashal Kurebi Eliezer Sriyale, Damar Ede Mesira Karti. That all we care about is the Ede Mesira, that when it was given over, we don't care about the Ede Hasima, which means we don't care about the Zman, we don't care about the Shtar at all. Shtar is meaningless. So that's something unique by a get. Aval hacha leichesh lenefila. But here, shouldn't we be concerned that it fell from some other party, and the guy who's holding on to it was just he found it, so therefore he it's not his. Now, by the way, just that Ricky raised this point, we know when someone loses an object, so the person finds it, it's his. Would the same apply to a shtar that doesn't say who the owner is? If a guy finds a shtar that's open-ended, would you be able to use it to collect? Let's say you pick up a check that says cash on it. Right. So that's in essence what this is. It says cash. Are you allowed to pick up that check? Is that the same as a dollar bill that's lost? Or no?
You want to assume that there, first of all, there are ADM involved in the transaction. And a check, you can always call the guy who you lost.
Let's figure it out.
May the Panophosios Neknos B'Mesira.
Say it again?
May the Panophosios Neknos B'Mesira, because if you hold Osios are not next to Mesira, it's the Haknos or Shtar that's what caused the Maisa Kenyan. So now someone else can't just credit Kenyan.
No, but if the guy loses it, it becomes an Aveda, I'm saying. He loses it.
But,
like, no.
But now I pick it up. I didn't do a Kenyan with the person who wrote the Shtar to me. There was no.
Saying there's no inherent value to that check. It's not a chayfetz for it to be something you could pick up and own.
Well, there's a difference between a check and a Shtar, because a check in itself can be cashed without going to the person who issued it.
And here you have to go directly from the person.
Right. So a check, basically, there is probably is much more Yush. I mean, if a check wouldn't be able to be cancelled, there's probably much more Yush on a check than on that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Now, what the
bill,
yeah.
A person would be miyai. A person loses a dollar bill.
No, right. Yeah, we just. We don't know. I'm saying, but the difference from the check and the shtar is it does write who lent the money. Has the lover? No, it actually doesn't. He has the lover, the guy who's paying the money. So can you go back to the original guy and ask him? Can you trust him if he tells you that's the guy, that's not the guy? The guard doesn't address that point if you go back to the person who owes the money. I don't know why that's not addressed. But let's go weiter. The Gemara says, again, here we're concerned maybe it fell and the guy picked it up and he's not really the true mimcha. So Amar Leih, the nefila lo chashina. We're not concerned of nefila. It doesn't happen. It happens, but it's not enough of a concern. Whoever's holding whoever has the shtar biyado, that's his. Uminatema de lo chashina le nefila. How do you know we're not concerned with the shtar dropping? Because it's non shnayim shayu bir achas shem echad Yosef ben Shimon shem achar Yosef ben Shimon, two guys, same name, same city. Einan yichal nahotzi shtar chov zelze. They can't take a shtar one over the next. V'lo achar yichal nahotzi alein shtar chov, and you can't have them, some other guy, collect from either one of them. Ha heim alachirim yichalim, but they are allowed to collect from other people. They can be the malv and collect payment. V'amai lichish l'nefila. Maybe when Yosef ben Shimon presents his shtar, maybe it fell from his twin, the other Yosef ben Shimon. So the fact we're not concerned with that. El alav shma mina l'nefila lo chashina. We're not concerned of nefila. So whoever has the shtar, it's his. So Gemara.
What is going to be talking about where the edim are not available? Because it would be logical that if they're edim available, the guy who's holding the star, even though he doesn't say the name, they can testify that he's the
I would imagine. But the question is, if the guy has a star, do we have to say present Adim, and if there are no Adim, then we'll trust you? Or do you say the Stam case is whoever's holding on to it, Shalom Aleichem. Whoever's there, so then whoever's there is the owner of the star. Let's just do last two lines here. Abaye says, L'nefila dechar lo chashinan, l'nefila derabim chashinan. Now Abaye says, by the case of Yosef ben Shimon, of one guy, there's only one other guy who might fall from, so we're not concerned of that happening. It happens to be the guy who dropped it, and the guy who found it has the same exact name, and that's so far-fetched, so we trust the guy with Yosef ben Shimon who holds the shar. But it says mincha, and it's fair game for anyone in the world, then there's a concern he may have found it, and therefore you cannot trust that shar that came out of the Bezdin of Rav Huna that said mincha. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.